It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Clear them out. I got the next 5 hours. Get out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's get it. My guy, Big Zoo-Wop behind the glass. We're going to have some fun tonight. You know we're going to drop beats. You know we're going to talk about everything. And you know we're taking your calls at 877-337-6666. I mean, I have to start off with my Mets. These are my Mets. I've never watched the Mets more than I have in the last 3 years. And if you've been listening, what do I say about the Mets? I say, losers let it happen, winners make it happen. In the beginning of this short baseball season, they let everything happen to them. In the beginning of this short baseball season, they got punked. They couldn't get off the mat. They just kept losing and losing and losing. But you know what? Two things happened that I thought were necessary. Mother Nature stepping in. Mother Nature is a Mets fan. She's like, a little rain never hurt anybody. Let's break up some of these games, losing every day, because losing is contagious. Losing becomes a habit. It felt like they were going to lose every game. I'm listening to The Fan. I'm hosting on The Fan. I'm looking online, and it's LOL Mets, same old Mets. All the jokes write themselves. But you know what? No one can predict baseball, and that's what's great about baseball. You forgot all about Rhys Hoskins, right? You forgot all about Michael Tonkin, right? And that was just last week. We're in week two. It's Thursday, right? Opening day was 2 weeks ago. And here we are, folks. I'm listening to Loogie say, this team's going to be over 500. I'm like, wait, just last week we're saying they would never reach 500 again. The Make It Happen Mets, 877-337-6666. When I was on last night, I said, that rainout helps you. You go from a four-game set where you took the first game, barely by a run, lost the second game, barely by a run. Rain comes. Now you don't have two games. You have a rubber match. It's an early game, a getaway day. Go take it. And that's exactly what they did. The game was over fast. Well, was it? I don't know. They took the lead early, but they kept adding runs. Everybody get right. Everybody get some. It's early in the season. These guys found it. Against their arch rivals. Who else would you rather see them put 16 runs on than the Atlanta Braves? The almighty Atlanta Braves with the best lineup in baseball and the National League MVP. And oh no, look at their pitching. And oh no, they've got Matt Olson and Ozuna and Albies and Michael Harris. Didn't you think Jared Kelnick was going to have a revenge game against the Mets? How many times did I see, oh, he's going to homer against the Mets? I even bet on it. Didn't happen. Right? The big, bad Braves. They got Chris Sale. So what? Look who you faced in this series. Look at the pitchers you faced in this series. Look at the moves that were made in this series. It makes you feel like you still have a season, and you do. So, starting off with applause for the Make It Happen Mets. DJ Stewart, make it happen, bro. Brandon Nimmo, make it happen, bro. Pete Alonso, make it happen. Tyrone Taylor? Tyrone Taylor deserves a round of applause. First off, that catch that he had in the first game where the SNY cameras made it look like Ozuna went deep. Great play. You're here for defense. Show us the glove. But then, did he hit a grand slam? He hit a grand slam in the night. Brandon finding Nimmo. Find it, Nimmo. I mean, I'm looking at the game today. I was driving back from Paterson, New Jersey. Shout out to everybody that was out there, and I'm listening on 880, and it was 3-0 after the second inning, and then I get home, I watch the third inning, I'm like, oh, they're piling on. And then obviously, you know, the Braves fight back a little bit, but man, never say die, and the game is not over. There's 27 outs, tack on in the 7th, 8th, 9th, absolutely damage their bullpen, and get right, get your swings right, get your confidence right before you come back home. And Steve Cohen pokes his head out, as he should. And he said, long season, everybody. but solid 2-3 in Atlanta. Back home tomorrow with Doc Gooden, number 16 retirement ceremony on Sunday. Plug. See you at City. Maybe it'll be a little different than it was in the beginning with the cold and the wind and the rain, and it just didn't seem like much fun in Queens for the Make It Happen Mets. Man, baseball is great because you have the opportunity every day to erase what happened the day before, the week before, the series before. And I know here in New York, we want everything fast. I know here in New York, it's New York minute, microwave, right now. They got to look like the Yankees right now, or this is a punt season. David Stern sucks. Why do we have a dance crew? You have a season, and you have more than a few guys that are figuring it out. It doesn't all have to be on the shoulders of Francisco Lindor. And it all doesn't have to be on the shoulders of Aaron Judge. I hear a lot of conversation about those two on The Fan today. Aaron Judge, I think, might be hurt, but that's not an excuse. He's in the lineup. He's playing every day. He's got to produce. Again, it's early, but he's not above reproach. I understand you love him. I love him too. He's not beyond us criticizing him, us speaking the facts about him. Watching that game last night, I was disappointed. And honestly, for one of the first times in a long time, I wasn't giddy about him coming to the plate. I actually was like, twice late in the game, I'm like, this guy's so cold right now. Judge doesn't look like that dominant hitter that strikes fear into the pitcher right now. Judge doesn't look like that guy that it's automatic. If you throw that ball over the plate in the zone, you leave it hanging there at 88, he's going to pluck it out. Judge looks like a guy who's a little off. Judge looks like a guy who's not having good at-bats. I don't know exactly what it is. I'm hearing everybody's take. I hear some people think it's Juan Soto mania has taken over the Yankees and stolen his shine. He's the highest paid player on the team. He's an MVP. He holds the AL home run record. He's not looking at Juan Soto like he's stealing his shine. Or Verdugo, or even young Volpe. And, you know, I spoke last night about Volpe, too. It was too soon to move him, in my opinion, to the leadoff spot. But now there's no turning back. That's your leadoff hitter for the next 10 years. Come on, Anthony. I know you could do it. But the day before, Aaron Boone told us when we look up in 10 years, he'll be at the top of the lineup. Psych your mind. Next day. And I don't know. I just said a couple days before that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, because Volpe was looking like an all-star in the bottom half of the lineup. I think he can still continue to hit and see pitches and work walks and hit homers and do his thing, but Aaron Boone selling us on that move being for Gleyber Torres because Gleyber Torres was pressing and they're trying to get Gleyber Torres going. I don't care about that. You decided Gleyber Torres would be the leadoff hitter, and then you decided that he wouldn't be after three series and two games. 877-337-6666. So Judge knows he's got to get right. Judge knows it's the worst start of his career. Judge knows we're relying on him. And when it comes to Juan Soto, and I saw you Yankee fans getting really upset with Sal Licata. Shout out to Sal. I listen to BT and Sal first thing in the morning when I get up. I turn on BT and Sal, and Sal is great. He's great at getting under a lot of you guys' skin, and I think a lot of you guys think I'm supposed to come on and counter Sal. And I'm not. I actually agreed with him. Sal, S-A-L, say anything loud, and you guys hear it. Sal basically said Juan Soto working a walk there wasn't good enough. He should be trying to get a hit. Now, if you remember how the at-bat went, right, the guy wasn't throwing strikes. Soto puts his hand up, and time doesn't get called, and then that's a ball. Whatever. He was going to work a walk. It's Juan Soto. But as a fan of the New York Yankees, watching that game, seeing Judge struggle, I wanted Soto to swing the bat. I wanted him to try and do some damage there. I wanted him to apply some pressure, hit the ball, score some runs. He did it earlier in the game. He put bat to ball and Volpe motored home. I didn't trust Judge in that moment. How strange is that as a Yankee fan? In that moment, I'm like, no, it's Juan Soto who's got to get it done because Judge is ice cold. So working a walk there didn't do it for me. Working a walk there, I'm like, now it's on Judge's shoulders. We don't have any more outs. It's not the eighth inning. It's not the seventh inning. And Judge is going to either strike out or pop out, and that's going to be the game. And that's exactly what happened. He popped out to center, and that was it. And the Yankees lose, but they won the series, and it's fine. You tip your cap to the Marlins, right? The Marlins fighting for their second win of the season. And the Yankees go on the road, and they'll face the Guardians, who are also in first place, also only have three losses. But they had the opposite effect last night. They walked off some bums they played against. They played against the 2-10 White Sox, found a way to walk them off. So it sets up for a good matchup away from Yankee Stadium. And Yankee Stadium is alive and well. I love it. If I saw you at the three games that I went to in these first six, shout out to you. I appreciate the love. I feel the love. I've been in that stadium hundreds of times. There is a buzz that feels almost postseason-like in April, which is great. And I say that to say this. The hype is real. And everybody is not the same kind of Yankee fan. I think you've heard me on The Fan say no one person could be the voice of Yankee fans, because there's too many different kinds of Yankee fans. There's some smart baseball Yankee fans that are really locked in. Like when Derek Jeter talks about these fans watch every pitch, they follow every day, they know everything. Then there's also some dumbasses. There's some dumbasses that go to the stadium and they chant Altuve's name. And there's also some that get drunk and don't care about the score and they do the wave. And those same clowns know that the most popular section is section 203, home of the bleacher creatures, and they want to go and start a second roll call. And I'm just like, man, this has gone too far. The creatures have gone mainstream so much to the point that everybody wants to be a creature. Well, from what I understand with the bleacher creatures, going back to section 39, and I'm blessed to have stumbled upon these people and learned the history of these people and be called one of these people. And not even now, I can't even claim. I'm in the media now. I walk in through the media entrance. I'm in legends. I don't even get to the bleachers all the time. And when I go, it's paparazzi. It's can I get a selfie? I can't even really chill with the gang. But there are a group of people that sit there every single game. And they show up every game. Old, young, it's been passed down. It is a family, a fraternity. And they kind of keep order over the section. But it's a public place. Anybody can go on StubHub, SeatGeek, Yankees.com and buy a ticket to sit in section 203 and do what they want. But it has changed. I blame social media, because social media, people just want to get things for Instagram and TikTok. And I also just look at where we are in society right now. Like, I don't know, everybody wants to jump on and everybody wants to fake it and be a part of something. Like, and that's from the internet where you can fake it. But shout out to the actual creatures. I want to bring Mark on because I was listening to some of the afternoon show. Of course, they're trying to decipher what goes on in 203. Call me up, guys. You got my number. Loogie, Morash, whoever could just dial Keith McPherson up. You have a nighttime host who's sat out there for 40 games in a season. Before I ever spoke on WFAN, I spent a lot of time in 203. I spent a lot of time with the creatures, not just at Yankee Stadium, before the games, at barbecues, at Christmas parties, at birthday parties that have nothing to do with Yankee Stadium. Shout out to Chico. Shout out to Tina. Shout out to Bald Vinny, who I was laughing. Bald Vinny hasn't entered the stadium in like 10 years. Bald Vinny came to visit me in the fan cave in 2014. BV's out there hustling, doing his thing outside Billy's. He doesn't lead the bleacher creatures. My guy Mark does that. So when you see Yes Network pull up and put the videos out of the roll call, that's Mark. I'm going to have Mark call in to let you guys know what was going on. I've had Brendan Cuddy on this show, and a tweet was sent my way last night. I woke up this morning, and BK was talking about, oh, the bleacher creatures are doing a second roll call. No, the hell they're not. They're watching the game. They barely say, let's go Yankees. I also saw some stuff about, oh, the bleacher creatures are the ones chanting F. Altuve. No, they're not. They're the ones trying to dead that. And I put a tweet out today saying we need to do some type of a behind-the-scenes documentary. The bleacher creatures are not mythical creatures. This is something that has been passed down through years and years of old Yankee Stadium to new Yankee Stadium. Fans that have been in that section that have become family that coordinate the roll call. I got to do the roll call. I got to lead the roll call, rather. I don't know if I'll do that again. Like I said, I don't feel like that's my place being a media person, but like I think it's time that we draw a line between people going to sit in 203 and pretend they're down with the gang and people who are actually there and have put in the time. 877-337-6666. You know who's about to put in the time This Ipe Mizuwara. Shohei Ohtani is innocent, huh? What did I tell you when I first got on air to talk about Shohei? They are going to protect him. I don't care what you think, what I think. Manfred dragged his feet to even say they were investigating it. And now Ipe Mizuwara is charged. He's going to plead guilty to federal theft, bank fraud. Like, how? Now I don't even care about Ohtani because I knew he was going to be protected. He's a unicorn. He's the golden goose. He makes way too much money for Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, Japan, himself. There's no way they were going to treat him like Pete Rose, as so many people were jumping to. But this Ipe guy, his longtime friend and confidant, his interpreter, he's going to go to jail, right? Supposedly, he changed all of the information where Ohtani wouldn't get alerted. Let me see. He transferred more than $16 million from Ohtani's account to a legal sports book. You know, they're doing the investigation now, and I don't know. All I'll say is I don't believe it, but it doesn't matter what I believe. It's the way the system is set up. It's the way things go. It's just, you know, some people are bigger than the system. Some people are more powerful. And I was too young to remember the whole O.J. Simpson thing. I think I was 5 in 93. I know of it from the FX show. I know of it from things in pop culture. Like Jay-Z had a song, Story of O.J. Kanye had a line, since O.J. had Isotoners, I think that's the brand of the gloves. The Kardashians are linked to Johnny Cochran. And, you know, I just know the pop culture aspect of the Ford Bronco and the chase. And I was listening today to the guys and Tiki talk about how the thing with O.J. was that he beat the system and black men don't beat the system. I'm too young to speak on it, but O.J. Simpson died today. And I know that there are mixed feelings on that. I know we're going to take calls on that, and we should, because he is sports-related, right? That's how he became famous, a Heisman Trophy winner, a running back in the NFL. I most recently was looking at him on a sports talk show called It Is What It Is, hosted by Cam'ron and Mace. He was zooming in and giving his takes. I don't know when he stopped doing that, but he was doing it over the last year or so. That's the first thing I thought when I saw O.J. Simpson pass. I didn't even know he was sick. What I don't want to do tonight is to get in the back and forth about race and get in the back and forth about was he guilty, wasn't he guilty. The man is dead. And I just don't want to take any calls disparaging the dead. You don't have to say rest in peace, O.J. Simpson. I haven't. But we can acknowledge that his life is over, and I will take calls on it because, like, I'm too young to speak on it. I don't remember what that time was like. Like I said, I watched the FX special on it, and I think there was another documentary on. I was too young at the time to know, but I understand the cultural impact and what it meant for the United States. So, you know, taking your calls on all those things, man. Mets, Yankees, Shohei Ohtani, O.J. Simpson, and you know what I wanted to do? I spoke a little bit last night, and it's crazy. They say death comes in threes. I might be missing the third, but we lost someone that worked here. We lost someone that had been on the airwaves in New York City like I am right now, and I did not get a chance to meet this man, and I regret it because the first time I ever spoke on WFAN, wherever he was, he called me. And all I saw was Calvin Brooklyn Metz. And I went to him and just said, hey, Calvin from Brooklyn, you're on the fan. And I come to find out seconds into that call that it's DJ Mr. C. So again, RIP DJ Mr. C. We're going to break right here. But when we come back, I want to play the call that DJ Mr. C made to my audition night, August 25th, 2021 on the fan, just to kind of give me a boat of confidence, a boost. And something crazy happened to me today. The day after we lose Mr. C, I met Tony Page today. And you've heard me bring Tony Page on this show if you've listened over the last few years. DJ Mr. C talked about Tony Page in that first call into my first night on the fan. This is Keith McPherson on the fan. Shout out to everybody I saw in Patterson. It was great to meet Pat Battle. I was on NBC News 4 tonight talking about the Negro League Baseball Museum that exists, the Charlie J. Muth Museum that exists in Patterson next to Hinchcliffe Stadium, the restored Negro League ballpark. Shout out to the mayor, Andre Saye, and everybody that I saw out there in Patterson. It was great just to see everybody celebrating a literal field of dreams and now a museum that will stand to educate people on the Negro Leagues of baseball and the history. And I was proud to be a part of that today. We'll try to get the mayor in. We'll try to bring Mark, who leads the roll call from the Bleacher Creatures, in. And we will play the call from Mr. C the first time I spoke to him and only time I ever spoke to him calling in to my show. I hope I've done what he had hoped I would do here on The Fan. 877-337-6666. It's a 5-hour KM to AM. You've got me till 12. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.